quite some time, so figured it would be a good time to sing it. 118. We are climbing Jacob's ladder.
Some food, but if you can't, there should be plenty to go around for everybody. So
We'll have a good time. The church provides everything else. Just like we're going to do in the morning service, we'll have another hymn sing.
Amen.
Following the breakfast, we always have a great time with that. And Brother Seabold will bring a little challenge from the Word following that time. So we'll have a good time as we always do. Mm-hmm. So those are the announcements I have for today. Let's get back to singing 135. Goodbye, old world, I'm through with you.
Oh,
missing by. All right. Well, at this time, our children's class will be dismissed. While they're getting ready to go, let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 20 for just a moment.
Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. I think I told you before, but John R. Rice, a long time ago, he had one of these on, and they forgot to shut it off. And he went out to the car. He was done the first speaker, and he had to go catch a plane and so forth and so on. But the man who was assigned to bring a car up for him wasn't there. The car wasn't available, and he lost his sanctification. And it was broadcast all over the auditorium. So I'm very careful when you hand me this. I get my sanctified voice on. So hey, it's good to be back home. And this is kind of like home, and we're thrilled to be here. Don't ask me where we've been. You could ask my wife, and she'll tell me where I've been, but I took comfort because somebody said, well, men seem to be a whole lot that way, and so I'm showing my masculinity when I don't remember what I'm doing, where I'm going, or anything else like that. I'm more of a man because I don't remember what I did. But since we were here last, I believe we've been in probably 15 different churches. Visiting with them, singing with them, doing whatever God would have us to do. And so my cranium is not capable of retaining 15 different churches and the pastor's names and how many folks and that kind of stuff. But it's been good. It's been good. America, as I've said many a time, but America needs revival. And some of you have, listening to you sing those songs, you have tasted of revival. These good folks went down to Point Pleasant, and they got lost in Point Pleasant. If you just went a little further north, you would have been in. See that? I'm just proving the fact. you would be in the little town. How did you remember? And I couldn't remember. How did you know what I was going to say? Well, you would have been in the little town of Ocean Grove. I don't know if you went a little further north along the shoreline, and Ocean Grove was known for its biblical position as Methodists, and they were strong, so forth and so on. But it is good to be back here. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. It is a challenge to do spontaneous preaching, teaching in different churches, because you have to remember what you said maybe last time you were here, And I'm sure by now you're tired of hearing the same old joke or hearing the same old story or singing the same old song.
We don't remember it either.
You don't remember? No, I wouldn't tell anybody. I tell him, but you might want to. Anyway, yeah, you don't remember either. That's good. That's comforting. So you won't mind if I, you know, use. My wife keeps a pretty good record of what I preached in the different churches. And when you've been in 280 churches along the way, you're not going to remember, and you're not going to realize, I've had to preach this someplace sometime before. You mean you don't prepare a new message for every, you know, if you're in one spot, you can cover a whole lot. You have Sunday school, you have preaching service, afternoon service, you have an evening service, you have midweek service, you have visitation service, you have visitation time. So you can cover a whole lot systematically when you're standing behind the pulpit. But when you're sporadic, okay, and it's a little bit more challenging. So we're going to go with this, and I have a file folder system, and on the file folder, my wife writes the message that I preached before at the church. And I think here there's a good number of messages that I preached, and hopefully I haven't repeated myself, because I wouldn't know, but you might. And so we're going to look at actually Psalm 119 and verse. We're going to go through several verses, but I wrote down here a heart for God. I'm glad for this place because you have a love for God, a love for godly things, a love for righteousness, a love to learn the Word of God. And some of us didn't like some of you when I was in school because some of us had a hard time learning and some of you were rapid learners. And so we didn't like folks like my wife in school, in Manasquan High School, 4 years. It's hard to believe, but her and I had the same academic record. Uh-huh. She had 1B and I had 1B. Okay? And so we're identical in that area, right? If she had 1B and I had 1B? No. She only had 1B, all the rest were A's in 4 years, in any subject, any time, any marking period. Are you in the same category? All right. And my B was the highest grade I ever got. My mother thought I took an E and turned it into a B. You just have to put two little curves on that E if you're careful. Get the right color ink. Your mom will never notice the difference. We need to have, as a Christian culture, truly a heart for God. And when we see America slipping and sliding, and we see our Christian churches slipping and sliding, when we see our family slipping and sliding, it's got to hit right here. This poor man cried, and we need to have that heart once again for it. When we see people doing things they ought not to be doing, it's not shame, shame. It's not as much shame, shame on you as it is hurting them. The further they get away from spiritual truths, the more difficult it will be for the challenge of the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm not limiting the Holy Spirit of God, but it's a challenge for somebody to come to conviction. Do you remember when you were young, when you knew you did wrong? You got to the point, I hope, with training, that you didn't have anybody to have to tell you. You just knew that what you did brought displeasure to your mom and dad. And rarely would you go and confess your fault one to another. Maybe your little brother, and he don't understand what you confess your fault. But, you know, we need to have, once again, a heart, a movement, a heart for God. I jotted down some of the little phone things. You know how to work them? They're absolutely amazing. If you want some information, all you have to do is say to your wife, I need information. That's how that thing works. If you have one and yours doesn't work that way, you might have sent it back to the company you bought it from and get one that says, Ma, I need some information on a heart. That's all you have to do. That's one of the neatest contraptions I've ever seen. And it speaks back to you even. The heart was used in the Bible over 762 times. Isn't it neat information? In the Bible. The Bible had a lot to say. The Word of God had a lot to say about the heart. The average size of a heart is the size of your fist. Okay? So when you're going to let someone have it, you're talking about giving them your heart. The heart beats 115,000 times a day. How boring. You want me to stop it? No, we don't want to stop it, okay? We want to keep it beating as long until Jesus comes back. We're going to keep it pumping. We're going to keep it going for God. And it pumps about 2,000 gallons of blood every day. filtering system and all that that goes on. This is not a lesson in whatever you would call it. But it's not that. If you stretched out all those blood vessels, you would be traveling about 60,000 miles. You don't travel that far in your little toy truck that you ride around in. No. Here's a young man grew up and he got whatever he dreamed about when he was a little boy. A little truck. Don't you drive a truck?
Yes.
Isn't it a dream come true?
Yes.
She's so, amen. Behind every good man, there's a good woman. Never forget that. Amen. All right. So in here, for just these few moments, I want to talk to some degree about having a heart for God. And there was a phrase that hit my attention in just reading on this, was with the whole heart or with my whole heart. And we need to jump in to what we do here in this place with our whole heart. Next Saturday morning, I'm going to watch you men dig into it with your whole appetite, with your whole appetite. Now, ladies, you're a little bit more cautious. If it was just a ladies' fellowship and a ladies' breakfast, you'd have to have twice as much food as you need this week. Because when it's just ladies, they can go at it. But when it's mixed company, the ladies, I'll just have a little bit of that dessert. Yeah, I just want a little bit. Not much. Don't give me much now. As when no one, anyway, we need to have a heart that is dedicated to the Lord. And it's not a superficial thing. Every once in a while, a wife might say to the husband, "You never tell me anymore that you love me. You never tell me anymore that you love me." And so when you hear that, fellas, what do? You write yourself a little note in the morning. Tell your wife you love her. Or she'll put it up on the mirror in the bathroom where you shave. Tell your wife you love her. And so we need to get into the habit of doing that. Tell your wife you love her. Fortunately, mine and I don't know if there's been a night, but I doubt it. We never go to bed without saying, "Honey, I love you. I love you." Give her a kiss. "I love you. I love you." And so it sounds artificial, but it's not really. My three girls in growing up, "I love you, Daddy. I love you, Daddy. I love you, Daddy." There was an old TV program, they tell me, years ago with Little House on a Prayer Meeting. Isn't that what it's called? That's what we call it in our family, the Little House on the Prayer Meeting. And anyway, I think they said by names or something, "I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you." And listen, you might have grandkids, and telephoning is not too expensive nowadays. Used to be cost you a small fortune to call your kids, but now it's pretty cheap. But anyway, you can call them, tell them you love them. Just, "What'd you call me for, Grandma?" "I just want to tell you I love you. I just want to tell you. That's it. That's it. I don't have anything else. Don't ask me for money. I just want to tell you I love you." And well, how do you show your love? By giving me money. No, it doesn't work that way. All right. So we want to have a heart for God. And our culture needs to see the reality of Christianity. You didn't come to church this morning because you were mandated to, or somebody's keeping track of your attendance record. It's good to be in church every time the doors are open, but you're not going to get from God, you know, little buttons and little pins. How many of you ever got pins when you were in Sunday school when you were younger? Come on now, get your hands up higher. You know, come on. I know it hurts. All right. Got the little pin, get the big one first, then you got the little ribbon that went around it. That's for the first and second year of perfect attendance. And then, if you were real good, I think it gave you a couple of exceptions for illness. Maybe you could be ill, miss Sunday school three times and still get perfect attendance. And maybe if you're on vacation, no, you didn't get any grace. Man, you must have gone to a Catholic church or something. we went to a Lutheran church. But we would get those perfect attendance pins. You know, you'd almost trip over them. My mother taught Sunday school from the time I was born, and I stopped going to Sunday school when I turned 14, 13, 13. I guess about 13, so I could work on the golf course. You know, I had to make money, so forth and so on. Anyway, why am I down this road? I have no idea. Your whole heart, your whole heart. You don't go to Sunday school for a Sunday school pin. You go because you love the Lord. And I enjoy being here because the vast majority, if not all of us, enjoy being in God's house on Sunday morning. It may be a little hassle to get here. It's just a little hardship to get here, various reasons and so forth to come in. But it's good to get here. It's good to be here. It's good to be with God's people. And we want to do it with our whole heart. So that when somebody walks in off the street or whatever, they might say, hey, this is a real place. This is not superficial. And you'll hear it again during your singspiration time. This is real stuff. And you heard it during the Sunday school hour. This is real stuff. And that's the way God would have it to be. Psalm 119, that's where you're at, I trust. Well, go to Proverbs 17 again, if you would. Proverbs 17. Why am I having you turn back there? Because it simply says this, a merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A merry heart, a merry heart. You can accuse me of having a little bit too much levity in Sunday school class or in preaching, a little bit too much levity. But this verse tells me that a merry heart, I found the Lord, a rich man am I. What would you do if you put on a pair of trousers, fellas, that you haven't worn in about 3 or 4 years? You put your hand down the pocket, and there was some paper down the bottom of your pocket, so you kind of got it out. You couldn't get it all out, so you pulled your pocket sleeve out, and all of a sudden came a, let's just say a coin. And it was a coin of great value. It was, you know, it was only a 25-cent piece, but it was an ancient one, and it was worth probably on the market $500. Now you found that. Oh, we're happy. We found it. I found the Lord. A rich man am I. A merry heart doth good like medicine. What does it take to give you a merry heart? Not in my notes or anything else. What does it take? A merry heart, it's good. It doeth good like a medicine. What phenomena has to occur in your life that you would say, yeah, your wife would say, why are you so happy? What are you so happy about? Why are you happy? What would it take? So you're sitting at me, again, I said before, like looking at a gate, okay? Right? What would it take? What would it take? Now, you're still waiting for me to say something. I'm asking you. What would it take for you to have a merry heart? Yes, ma'am. Jesus, okay? Jesus is with us all the time. Now, I'm going to step aside and into the material world, okay? What would it take in the physical, you follow what I'm saying? Jesus is always with you, and we've got that joy, and it is our strength. But what would it take? I'm just trying to see if I have to give you a Cadillac, or maybe you want a Volkswagen. I have to see if you want a new house, a swimming pool in the backyard. Those things would make you happy. Way in the back yonder. Amen. To sit back and count your blessings. You know, many of us have blessings. You didn't have to go out to the well to pump up the water to bathe yourself to come to church. They got them little faucets you turn on. All right? Put a little stopper in the big little swimming pool they brought in the house. And you go splish splash. I was taking a bath. And there you go. All right. What else does it take to make you happy? Yes, ma'am. Okay, your attitude towards what you have and what you don't have. There's always something you don't have. Yes?
A good cup of coffee with just the right amount of cream and sugar at just the right temperature first thing in the morning.
Give me my notes that I preached that message against coffee drinkers. Lester Roloff used to preach against coffee, okay? See where he's at? He's in heaven right now. So that made him real happy. Got him there before us. Amen. Good. That's good. You enjoy that? Me, it's chocolate cup. He's got the cup right there to prove it. Amen. That's why he's always smiling. I wonder why he's always happy on Sunday morning. Amen. Some things just have a tendency to make us happy. What does discourage you? My point is that there are things that will make you happy, things that will discourage you. If you're in a hurry to go to work or go shopping or something else like, and one of those little special blue cars get behind you with a little special little light on top or back, wherever they're hiding those little lights now, he just ruined your day. Now, you will go from 20 miles over the speed limit down to just 2 miles over the speed limit. You feel relaxed, okay? When he turns off, what do? Now, I know none of you do that, and you put your foot back down on that accelerator, and you're happy again. We are happy people, all right? With your whole heart, we want to be joyous in the Lord. Psalm 119 and verse number 2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart. Seek him with your whole heart. I jotted down here in my notes that little song. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands. Doing it happily. We are happy people. And so my point this morning is we need to have a heart for God. And we need to have a heart that's surrendered. Our culture needs to see some happy Christians. I've said it probably a dozen times since I've been privileged to come here. But our culture needs to see some happy Christians. What are you smiling about? Tomorrow morning you stop in for the next cup of coffee. What are you smiling about? I went to church yesterday. And the preacher, he stopped 5 minutes early. That's why I'm happy today. No. I'm happy today because I got to be with God's people. It's not always you're in the presence, of the congregation that's here right now. It's 100% Christian folks. Now, I'm not judging per se, but, it's 100%. So you're with 100% Christians. It's a whole lot better than being with 2% Christians and 98% heathens. With my whole heart, the idea this morning is that we want to be people who are doing what we're doing, and we're doing it with our whole heart. Spontaneous question. Give me something that you do with your whole heart. Something you do with your whole heart. Doesn't have to be a spiritual matter. Could be a spiritual matter. Could be a secular matter or just a common matter. What do you do that you really get involved in? What do you do? Yes, ma'am. Play with your dog, all right? For her, that's an exciting thing. For me, that would be a chore and a task. But yes, in the motorhome, I do have a pet. And I'm sorry to say that it's deceased. I have to change the battery in it to get it to go and do its little tricks once again. What else? You like to sing. Amen. The young lady sitting next to you, she was going the other way. No, she was reading her Bible.
I like quietness.
You like quietness. Yeah, that's good. Anyway, with my whole heart, there needs to be, I say it 100 times, but it needs to be what we find here in those 280 churches or so that are out there, that there is a joy in serving Jesus. There is an expectation. Your Saturday morning breakfast next week and so forth. There is an expectation of joy. And so we need that. With your whole heart, we need to enter into that. And obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Psalm 119 and verse number 10. Psalm 119 and verse number 10. I wrote these notes out yesterday. My wife says, why don't you do color them differently than this? She had it was like notes by number or something like that. You know how you color it? Remember coloring by number and so forth and so on? Well, I put the phrase with my whole heart or with the whole heart. I did that in blue. And now we're in Psalm 119, verse number 10. You got that? With my whole heart have I sought thee. We're speaking to the Lord. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments with my whole heart. If you love me, Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Love God and seek him with your whole heart. Now, if I was talking to teenagers right now, this thought went through my mind. You know that little girl that's sitting on the other side of the auditorium? Okay, and she really knocked your socks off and so forth and so on. And now what are you going to do? I'm going to seek her with my whole heart. He will do things that he doesn't like to do just to kind of sweep her off her feet. Some of you, can you remember back that far? No. You'll do some things that you don't like to do, but just to sweep. And sometimes in our Christian life, you may say with me this morning, oh, no. Everything I do for God, I enjoy. Everything I do for God, I really like. Okay? And that's not truism. That's a stretch of the truth just a little bit. Can you go like this? Or no? You follow what I'm saying? And so we do. We do some things that we do it for the Lord. How many of us do something for our wives we really don't like doing? We got a from the front row here. And sometimes we just need to. In the motorhome yesterday, we have a little vent that's in the bathroom floor. It's just a little tiny thing like that. And my wife's been bugging me. Is that the right word? Okay, she called it the snake hole, and it was just, it looked like a little eyeball down in the floor, but the little thing, it has a closure on it. Well, it was made out of plastic. It had four little, and one of them broke off, so now it's not doing what it's supposed to do. And it's been probably 4 months or something like that, and I finally got around. I'll take a look at it. I took a look at it. Couldn't get it back. You know, I was a very happy camper. I mean, I was smiling, and boy, this is great. This is more fun than I've had in a long time. Give me some duct tape. Give me some black tape. I'm only saying this because I fixed it. It's been totally repaired. But there are some things that we are challenging. We want to do with our whole heart. That world out there needs to meet some folks that we are happy Christians. We are joyful. And we're sincere. And we love God with our whole heart. It's not regulated to just a little bit of time. It's the whole time. I hope you have your temperament under control. I want to get everybody's eye on this. I've done the first four. Temperament under control. Ma, you're not looking at me. You have your temperament under control. Thank you. Now, I'm trying to read the way she's looking at me. I have to now translate that from King James English over to something else. All right. But we need to do it that way. Let me go on. We're all right with time, correct?
Sure.
Sure. Good. Psalm 119:34. Turn here. Give. Who?
10:30. You're good.
Okay. Psalm 119:34. Give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. The whole point for this lesson is my whole heart. My whole heart. Put your heart into it. And we want to do that when God sees us, that we're doing what we're doing with our whole heart. A lost and dying world needs to see that. The idea of doing whatever we're doing with our whole heart. That they know that this is the real, as they say, the real deal, if you would. This is real. This is serving the Lord is real. To know wisdom and instruction. Let's just stay with Psalm 119:34. Give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Give me understanding. When your little youngsters were growing up, or when you were a little youngster growing up, I don't think every time our parents told us to do something, or we as parents told our kids to do something, that they understood. That they understood. They don't. And then what do you say back to them?
I said so.
I said so. Okay. And so their first question was, why? And your reply to them was, because I said so. And then their little comment back was, but why? Because Daddy said so. Daddy, why? And this going on for a while, back and forth. Why? I think when God tells us to do something, we don't need to ask why. We'd be a whole lot better off just doing it. And I've been around enough people to realize that when they ask that question, why, and they didn't even listen to the answer that God gave back, they got themselves in big trouble. Big trouble. And you know, some of that parental training that we gave our children growing up helps God a little bit to train us as we got a little bit older. Because God said so. But why? Wait. No. I'm not asking that question. If God said to do it, I don't need to know why. We just adhere to that. And we're better off. God has explained to us why. And if we read the scripture, we'll know why. But we don't need to ask that question, why, in order for us to perform what we're supposed to be doing. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church. Why? 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 Don't let your wife get you asking God the question, why? You better have one of them silent prayers when it comes to that matter. Why? Let me go on. Psalm 119. Are you turning in your Bible? You don't have to. You're just pretty close to it. Psalm 119, verse 58. With my whole heart, the idea, and every verse that I found with my whole heart in it, I jotted down here. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to thy word. With thy whole heart. Since we're talking about parenting and grandparenting, have you ever had a youngster who asked for your forgiveness and you could tell whether they were real or not real? They were saying it with their whole heart. They were truly sorry for what they did. Can you remember either standing before your parents, asking them for forgiveness and or asking them for a gift with your whole heart? We've lost a little bit of that emotional type of thing where we do not ask for something with our whole heart. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, are we asking God with our whole heart for wisdom and understanding? Or we just kind of say, well, it's something I ought to do, and then God's going to go ahead and feed me. No. We need to do it with our whole heart. We're earnestly contending that we want God to do this. We want God to do something in America. We want God to do something in our churches in America. We want God to do something in our homes in America. And we need to start asking with our whole heart. The trials and tribulations that I had in growing up and the trials and tribulations that my wife had in growing up, even with those trials and tribulations, it was good. I mean, it wasn't what it ought to be and it wasn't as good as it should be, but it was good compared to what some of these kids are going through today. And so we want to besiege God with our whole heart. God, you've got to help us as a people. Help us as a church. Help us as a nation. Help us with our whole heart. This is what we feel God would have for us. We want God to fill up these pews, but we need to say, God, we want this with our whole heart. With our whole heart. When Ma and I were interested in each other, and she lived quite a distance from where I lived. And, we were kind of, young love, whatever. And so we had a snow day, and I wanted to see her. But it was snowing out, and I had this long journey I had to take to get to her house. Her mom and dad were home. They were snowed in and so forth and so on. So I walked up to my corner, and I usually make a left to go down to her house. And I waited for a bus to come by because it was quite a distance from where I lived to where she lived. It was two city blocks, and I had to wait for a bus so I could go see her with my whole heart. If I was her, I would have slammed the door in my face. Why are you late? Well, it was snowing, and I had to wait for the bus to go by. That's not a way to convince somebody, all right? This is a lesson in marital sympathy, apathy, whichever one you want. With my whole heart, I've got one or two more items here, and we're just done. We are done. Psalm 119, verse 69. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. There was a secular cliche, and I really don't even want to say it, but since I got you to that point, I probably will. But no, I'll leave you in wonderment. And you can ask me after church, and I won't remember what I said I was going to tell you, so don't bother asking me. No. Heavenly Father, bless for these few moments of somewhat dialogue, one way from my part to the people. Thank you for each one of them that have gotten here today to sing and rejoice and praise your holy name. Lord, we recognize that what was said from behind this desk here was not deep theology, but it was some of that practicality. And Lord, I pray that you would raise up a Christian culture once again who know the ins and outs of fundamental Christian values and systems and theology and terminology and phraseology. Lord, help them. Help us, not them, just help me. And Lord, just bless now your body of believers that assemble here on a regular basis. Use this place in a mighty way, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.